So pleased to be here this morning. My wife Susan and I both are very pleased to be with you. No, it didn't take a lot of arm twisting to get me to come. He asked me just right before I was going to ask him, "Brother, please, can I come preach at your church?" I've been known to do that. And then once I get in the door, I invite myself back. So that's what Brother Whitehead was talking about the other day. He asked me to come preach for him, and I came in, and I said, "Well, actually, this is part one of a four-part series." So if y'all want me back, talk to him and let him.
Okay.
But praise the Lord. I do want to say thank the Lord for my beautiful wife, Susan. We have been married now for 44 and a half years. And I told her when we first got married, she's getting a good deal. And I really meant that. I didn't realize at the time that I was the one getting a good deal. But I've soon been corrected by the Lord on that. She puts up with me, and I'm so thankful for her support, her love. She's a godly woman.
Amen.
She's the most godly person that I know, man, woman, whoever.
There you go.
And I say that, and I know all her faults, and she has a couple. Not a lot, but she has a few. And in spite of that, she continues to serve God with everything within her.
Amen.
Makes things right when she realizes she's wrong, repents. You know, just like a godly person ought to do. We have this funny idea, wrong idea, that a godly person is somebody who never messes up. And so that's why we idolize people we don't know, because we don't know them and their faults. It's when you get to know somebody and still think they're a godly person. It's when they're a godly person.
Amen.
And there she is. You want to know a godly person? Get to know my wife. Praise the Lord. Well, turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, this morning to Luke chapter 19. We are going to read verses 12 through 27. And I'm going to... If I go on too long and you need to leave, just get up and leave. I'll be here when you come back, okay?
Amen.
I don't mean to take a long time. I just do. Nobody laughed at that one.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Luke chapter 19. We'll begin in verse 12. He said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come." I'm reading from the King James Version this morning. "But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up, thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Will you bow your heads as we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord God, that you give me unction this morning. I don't trust in my preparation. I don't trust in my ability. I don't trust in my intellect. I trust, Lord God, only in your anointing and the Holy Spirit upon me. Lord, I pray that you would take this word that you have put on my heart for this morning and cause it to be something that has lasting value in the life of this church and those that are watching online. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to say up front, I normally do not, well, I don't think I ever have, just gone into the refrigerator and brought out leftovers and warm them up and serve them to people. I always want a fresh word from God. Having said that, I have preached this message several times in the past. It's one of the few that I've preached many times. It's always a blessing to me to be able to preach something again. A man by the name of Leonard Ravenhill, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him. If you ever get a chance to watch some of his messages on YouTube, watch. He's an Englishman who's gone to be with the Lord, and I didn't find out about him until he had already passed on. I wished I had known him while he was alive. But he said that you really don't get a message down really, really good until you've preached it about 25 times. Well, if you had people in a local church doing that, most people would get sick of it by then. People with itinerant ministries have an opportunity to preach things multiple times, or if you've been in a place long enough, you can recycle something a time or two, but not 25 times. But this particular message, I have preached it on occasions when the Lord prompted me to do it. And this is one of those times when the Lord prompted me to go back to this message and preach it again. I feel like, and I don't know why, but I feel like it has a particular application for this church. So I'm speaking from the Spirit of God to you today. I'm not here to entertain. I'm not good enough to entertain folks. They're either going to hear God in it or they're not. And I pray that you hear God today. But the title of my message to you today is Faithfulness. We're going to go back through this passage of Scripture, and we're going to look and break it down and look at some of the things that it has to say concerning His will for those that belong to Him in regards to faithfulness. It's very interesting when, instead of just giving a cursory glance at this, if we really look deeply into it, there are deep truths that we need to know. We are His servants, and we need to understand what He expects of us. The Master expected them to conduct business or to put His money to work until His return. Where it says in the King James, Occupy till I come, in verse 13, and he said to his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. Now, in our modern English, occupy means just to take up space. Right? You're occupying the chair you're in. Nobody else can sit in there because you're occupying it, right? And we'll tell them, don't sit on me. This is my chair. But that's not what it meant when he said, Occupy till I come. That word occupy means to do business with, conduct business, Put it to work. Actually, that word occupy comes from a Greek word, pragma, where we get the English word pragmatic from. And pragmatic means to be concerned with facts and duty above feelings or idealism. When you're pragmatic, you are all about the facts. Your emotions aren't into it, how you feel about it, what you'd rather be doing. That's not being pragmatic. Being pragmatic is, well, this is what I was told to do, and I'm going to do it. This is what it means, and that's what it means. And Jesus said, or in the parable, the master said to his servants, occupy till I come. Do business with this, and don't worry about how you feel about it. Don't do anything based on you and your feelings, but upon my word. Occupy till I come. Upon his return, he expected not only what he gave them back. He didn't say, keep this for me. Put it in safe keeping. Don't lose it. That's not the instructions he gave them. He said to trade with it. Do business with it. Because he expected, what? An increase. Amen. This is going to be so rich as we get into this. You're going to understand faithfulness is something that you've never, like you've never understood it before. But our faithfulness to God goes beyond just being careful not to lose what he's given us. And most of the ministry in the church today is trying to get people to be forgiven and then walk out and don't lose it. And we don't challenge them to go beyond that and go out and not only not lose it, but use it for his glory. That's what you've been saved for. Not to hang on to salvation and try not to lose it. But be saved, filled with the Holy Ghost and power, and go out and use it for his glory. Luke chapter 19, verse 15, it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained. He wanted to know how much they gained by trading. What was he interested in? Increase. When he looks at my life and your life, he's interested in increase, growing. I was talking about my wife a few minutes ago. That's another reason I say she's the most godly person I know. I have seen her grow in the Lord. From the moment I met her, she was so shy. We met in a church fellowship. The church met in a home. And her father had introduced her to me at a little potluck supper. He said, that's my wife, Susan. That's my wife, Evelyn, over there. That's my daughter, Victoria, over there. She was about 12 years old. And that's my daughter, Susan, over there. She's not married. He says, she's got a wonderful testimony. You should get to know her. Immediately, God put something in my heart, drawing me towards her like I'd never been drawn to a woman before. Totally different reason for being drawn to somebody. But I was drawn to her. But at the time, it was hard to get to know her because every time I tried to get close to her, I'd find that she was no longer where she used to be. She'd be at the back of the group, and we'd all be standing up singing, but in a big oval, you know, trying to fit in the room. And I would see her. I'd see her hair and like one eye peering over somebody's shoulder. And there she is. And then a minute later, I'd look over and no, she wasn't there anymore. I'd see the other eye peering over somebody else's shoulder. Bashful as all get out. That same woman took our little children with her when we lived over in England, going door to door, witnessing a woman and little children knocking, cold knocking doors, and led several people to the Lord during that. I've seen her reach up to a woman, a large woman. I don't know if I'd want to fight her. You know, she's pretty, take care of herself. I think I could take her, brother. I really do. Looking back, I think I could take her, but I wouldn't want to try. My wife was talking to her, and she was, not my wife, but the other lady was smoking away, and she was telling her about Jesus, and all of a sudden, she began to crack. You could see tears well up in her eyes. Little old Susan reached up, pulled the cigarette out of her mouth and threw it on the ground and kept preaching to her. That's the one that was hiding behind people when I first met her. Increase, constantly growing Amen. In the Lord.
Yes.
That's what He wants from all of us.
Amen.
So your salvation is not just being not the drunkard you used to be. But it's all the other things and all the other things, all the not only the sins but the weights in your life. He's looking for increase. Luke chapter 19, verse 23, wherefore then gavest not thou my money? Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? That's with interest. What was he looking for? He was looking for increase. The guy gave him his money back. It was kept safe. He hid it in a napkin. He buried it. Why was Jesus so upset? Because what he asked for, he didn't get. What did he ask for? His money back? No. His money back with increase. There came a day of reckoning and accountability. This is some points that we need to see. There came a day of reckoning. Luke chapter 19, verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. He called them to himself. What did you do with what I gave you? Do you understand that each one of us as believers, not just the world will stand before Him to be judged. Their judgment will be, depart from me into everlasting torment. Just like He said to those who said, we will not have this man rule over us.
Right.
Our standing before the Lord is to know whether we are going to be rewarded or lose reward. Point, the next point, your faithfulness determines your reward or lack thereof. Luke 19:17, and he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. He didn't say just because you did a good job and one day in heaven you'll be rewarded. The heaven is going to be our home. For those of us who love Jesus. And that matters more than anything else. But He loves us enough to not only reward us with heaven and being in His presence forever, but He loves us enough to reward us in this life.
That's right. That's
this life brings reward unto us.
Amen.
And your faithfulness determines your reward in this life. 19:19, and he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And Luke 19:24, and he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds, the loss of reward. Haven't got time to go all into it this morning, and I'm sure you've heard it before. But when we stand before the Lord, there will be those of us who receive reward for our faithful service, and there will be those who barely get into heaven, and everything that they had produced in this life, because it was not for the Lord Jesus but for themselves, will be burned. The next point, faithfulness is also rewarded in the life to come. Well, let me add this to the being rewarded in this life. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Faithfulness determines your reward in this life.
Yes.
Faithfulness is also rewarded in the life to come. Blessed is the man that endureth or remains in and doesn't flee away from and is faithful in the midst of temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The crown of life is going to be given to those who are faithful to live for the Lord in the midst of temptation. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is combining your continued effort with God's gift, so that you may give unto him both increase on his investment and pleasure to his heart. Faithfulness is you taking that which you cannot give to yourself, God's gift, and you give to him what he cannot do for you. That is, he cannot be faithful for you. We're the only ones who can be faithful with what he's given us. We can't give ourselves the gift, and he can't give himself the faithfulness. It is the partnership of his gift with our faithfulness that brings joy to his heart. And what is faithfulness? It is an increase. It's using it and using it and using it and using it until it makes a difference in our lives. And then using it and using it and using it until it makes a difference in somebody else's life. And using it and using it and using it till it makes a difference in our community. And ultimately to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
That's faithfulness.
Good.
To be true faithfulness, it has to be expressed in two ways. First of all, it's expressed over time, not just once in a while. Anybody, even a broken in a no good clock can be right twice a day.
That's right.
It's easy to be right every now and then. But faithfulness is continuing to give what we have to the Lord and put our effort towards what he's called us to do over time. Y'all understand, I was going to ask perhaps one of the children here, but they're all getting ready for a program. So I'll ask Brandon. I love you, Brandon. What do they call that geyser up in Yellowstone that y'all helped him? Old Faithful. Why is it Old Faithful? Because it blew once and they're waiting for it to do it again? Old Faithful. Over and over and over again, it's faithful. To be faithful means to continue to stay in it, to continue to pursue. Continue to do what God's called you to do.
That's good.
To be true faithfulness has to be expressed in two ways. First of all, over time. And then secondly, under pressure.
Oh my, okay. Yeah.
Because when it's easy to do, once again, everybody can do it. Our football coach used to say to us on tour days, when we were out there and we were all puking our guts out and we were just having such a very difficult time doing what he wanted us to do, and we thought, why in the world are we out here? And he'd look at us and he'd see the anguish on our face, and he said, men, if it was easy, everybody would be out here. Because everybody wants their picture in the paper. I loved that. I loved having my picture in the paper. One of Mansfield High School's star players. I loved it. I loved seeing my number up on the grocery store. I loved seeing my name in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. You know, but if I got all that for just showing up and putting on a uniform, everybody would be doing it. No, I had to earn that. I had to be faithful on that football team, faithful at my position. And it wasn't always easy. For you to be faithful means that you're not only faithful over time, but under pressure. Let me tell you something. The devil's looking for quit in you. And he'll do everything he can to find that place where you say, I quit. Where you say, I'm done with being faithful. It's too hard. But brothers and sisters, the grace of God is greater than anything the devil can bring. You're not doing it on your own. You're staying in there and you're praying and say, God, I need your grace to last one more day. And guess what? You last one more day. How many of you know the devil will, just like he did with Jesus, he will depart for a more opportune time. Things, pressure doesn't stay that intense forever. He gets tired. Going back to the football analogy, I remember in the fourth quarter looking across thinking, man, I'm tired. I've been in this game all this time. And I look in the eyes of my opponent and I think, he's tired too. He's just as tired as I am. But I've worked harder than him. He's going to be the one that gives up. I've got something in my tank that he doesn't have. And I made myself believe that, and praise God, it was true. You got something in your tank that the devil doesn't have in his. You got the glory of God on you. Amen. If the devil can find your quit button, and he'll poke you everywhere he can and try to find it.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
But if you got God's hand covering your quit button, he can't push through it. Lord, he's getting close. Put your hand over that. Keep me. Faithfulness expressed over time and under pressure. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards. Now, a steward, I preached this a little while ago when I was going through a message on the family, that the tutors and governors that are talked about that a child is under until the point in time of the father, it's the same word for stewards, it's a house manager. It was someone who had responsibility in the house, and he had responsibility over all the servants and also the younger children. Everybody had to respond to that steward. It is a trusted position. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In order to have that trusted position, you got that trusted position not because you were the best looking guy in the bunch, not because of any other reason, but that you were faithful and he could trust you when he went on a trip, that he wasn't going to come back and there'd be beer bottles all over the place, ashtrays full of cigarettes, you know, everything torn up, chandeliers laying on the floor. That wasn't going to happen. The steward was going to make sure everything stayed as the master wanted it to stay.
Amen.
It is required that we be found faithful. Okay, areas where faithfulness is required. First of all, faithfulness to God's Word. Now, I'm gonna try my hardest to get through this in a timely manner, y'all. Just bear with me. Faithfulness to God's Word. Remember, it is required for us to be faithful. It is required for us to be faithful over time and under pressure. That's what faithfulness is. And then to give to Him the increase in us that He's looking for. Faithfulness to God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." We are living in a day and age more so than any other time when people are after something that makes them feel good. They don't want the under pressure part. They don't want to be called on when it's inconvenient. They don't want overtime. They want it now. They want it quick. They want it easy. And if you can preach a message, I've preached in places before, and I've preached very hard messages, and I can see in the eyes of some people out there in the congregation and said, "Brother, just tell us how to get a Cadillac. That's all I want to know." When Susan and I came into this walk that we're in, it was in the later stages of the charismatic movement. It was still in full swing, but it was starting to peter out a little bit. But man, I couldn't tell you how many meetings I was in where they didn't talk about Cadillacs. They didn't talk about the bling and fancy and expensive and bigger and better. It was all about and appealing to people's flesh and their desires, and kept people as individuals doing individual things, wanting individual blessing, not tying anything into the larger message of reaching the world and the church being what the church ought to be. It was about developing individuals. And so everybody was after that. And it was terrible back then. I was around a bunch of people who used to laugh at calling themselves cruise-a-maniacs. We just cruised from one church to the other, one meeting to the other. Laughed about it, thought they were free in Jesus. Another term was charismaniacs. We just do whatever we want to do. And that's where I first started seeing what the truth had to say about faithfulness, because I was all into faith. We were being taught faith, but nobody was teaching faithfulness. And I realized that when I'm dealing with real people, not just a convention full of people coming from here, there, and everywhere, but when I'm dealing with real people living in the same community, we're rubbing shoulders, we're experiencing life together, there's no pretense because everybody knows one another, then it took a little bit more than just faith to get us through life.
Yeah.
It took faith applied over time.
Yeah.
Faithfulness. John chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus speaking, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Not just if you start, but if you continue. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, "Study," Paul telling Timothy, "study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The Amplified Version says, "rightly handling and skillfully teaching." We need to be faithful to God's Word. We can't just cherry pick it and pick out the things that we like.
Yeah.
Highlight those and forget everything else. Anybody ever remember back in the 80s, for those of you old enough, a book called God's Promises? It was just, all it is God's promises under different headings. For your health, God's promises. There was nothing wrong with it. Those were God's promises. And I used it and I handed it out to people. But the problem with that is most of the promises of God are contingent upon other things in our life, and faithfulness being one of them. And we can't just cherry pick His promises out and fail to understand that that's part of a whole. And I'm not saying it was a bad book, but how it was used, when your Bible was laying there collecting dust and God's promises is dog-eared, worn out, we keep going to the promises and ignoring the other things that we are to add to our faith. This is part one of a four-part series. No, I'm jesting. So, faithfulness to God's Word. We live our life according to His Word.
Yes.
We try to find out what does the whole counsel of God say.
Yes.
Some people think that there's confliction in the Scriptures because in one place is emphasizing one thing, but in another place is emphasizing something else. God showed me this example one time, and it stuck with me, and I use it every time I can. But it's like a tent pole. You have to have ropes pulling from different directions to put tension on it to keep it going straight the way it ought to go. And the love of God being preached without any other thing adding tension to it the opposite way will just fall over. You've got the love of God and you have great tension, but you also have the judgment of God. You have God's justice. You have His holiness. That is putting opposite tension, not wrongly, neither one of them are wrong, but both of them together cause us to stand up straight. That's what happens when you're not faithful with the Word of God. Faithful to preach it. Just like the Lord told, I believe it was Jeremiah, He said, don't be afraid of their faces. Before I started preaching, I wondered what that meant. You know, if you're going to let disapproval on the faces of some people, and I don't see it here this morning, thank you. You're doing a good job, brother. But believe me, I have seen it a lot. And if you let that slow you down or keep you from preaching the Word of God, you got problems. God's called me to be faithful to His Word. Faithful to live it, faithful to preach it. Okay, faithful to God's call. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received, which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Say to Archippus, be faithful to do what God has called you to do. He's given you a ministry. Now do it. Every true believer is called to serve, and everyone that is called has been uniquely gifted in order to fulfill that call. I cannot call you. Only God can call you. But I can call you to be faithful to what He's called you to do.
Amen.
Grow where you are planted. You have visions of yourself being some mighty redwood, being awe-inspiring. You may end up being there, but you have to grow to that point. Grow where you're planted. Some people never grow because they keep unrooting themselves and running off somewhere else, trying to get rooted there. They work real hard to get rooted there, and then they hear something they don't like there, and they uproot and go somewhere else. Grow where you're planted. Support the vision of the church body that you're a part of. What did the scripture say? If you're not faithful in that which is another man's, who is going to give you that which is your own? Your faithfulness starts off with how faithful you are to get behind someone who has and support them, love them, comfort them. You know, it's a common thing that's said, but every preacher preaches on Sunday, quits on Monday, and then by Wednesday he's feeling like maybe I can go another week.
That's right.
And he comes to Sunday again, and God's filling him back up. He's ready to go. He preaches his heart out, and then by Monday he's quit again. This ain't easy, folks. Support the people who are pouring into you. Tell them you appreciate it. Tell them what you got from it. We got a kind of an online Bible college thing that I'm doing with people from Pakistan and Africa, and trying to help these people who don't have money. And I give them lessons. I have them hear some of my teachings. I give them my notes that I did, but I take out words and put blanks in there instead, so they'll have to fill in the blanks. And then after they're done, they show me pictures of what they've done, and the right words are in the blanks. Praise God. They went through it. Now the next thing I say to them is, what'd you get out of it? Tell me what you got out of it. Now, I need to hear that because I need to know how well I'm doing. But I also want them to be able to speak it, because once you speak forth something, it intensifies that within you. Communicate with all good things, the scripture says, with those who teach you. Lose yourself and something far greater than yourself. I don't know why my old football coach is used so prominently in this message, but he is. He's the one that said that to us as a team. Got all fired up one day. He's foaming at the mouth, spitting as he talked. Lose yourself in something far greater than yourself. That's true. If it's true for football, how much more is it true for the kingdom of God? It's not all about me.
Never all about you. Amen.
A lot of people, especially in foreign countries, think I'm rich. We are blessed. I've got things. I'm not going to tell you all those stories now, but we've had no food to eat. We've prayed food on our table before. I'm not in that situation now. Praise God. We are blessed. People say, you're rich. And I think about it and say, no, I'm blessed. I could have been rich if I hung on to everything God gave me. But it comes in and it flows out. My wife and I are givers. We give constantly. We could have been rich. It's about losing yourself in something far greater than yourself. The kingdom of God is worth investing my life into and our lives into. It's not about us being rich. Start where you are. Ask yourself, what can I do? Not only what can I do, but what is needed? Look around. Ask the leadership of this church. I'm here. I'm not really doing anything right now, but I'm available. What can I do to help. Some people say, I don't feel led. I like what one Scottish prophet guy said one time. I was listening to him. He said, you want to feel led? You want to feel led? Poke yourself with a pencil. How many times have I done things that I wasn't led to do, but it needed to be done? Susan, are you led of the Lord? Have this excitement about cleaning the house every day? Or does it just need to be done? It just needs to be done. We do things because it's something that we can do and we should do. Same about every area of our life, and it's about church life as well. You can grow. We started out our ministry before I even knew that I was called to preach. Before I had any inkling of that, we started out by doing children's ministry in the church that we were a part of. And I did everything I could to do that and do it well. We would send the children home with handouts for the parents. This is what your children learned in Sunday school today. This is how you can reinforce it during the week. It went from there to there to there. We kept growing and increasing. Complete it. Fulfill it. Don't make a start and then quit.
Amen.
Regardless of the opposition, regardless of the obstacles, or as that one guy said in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Obstacles. Regardless of the obstacles, others are counting on you.
Yes.
He stopped preaching and went to meddling there, didn't he, brother? Margaret, I knew something was wrong with that guy. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Paul wrote this, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel.
All right.
Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul had plenty of reasons to be other than pragmatic. He had plenty of reasons to live according to his feelings and according to his flesh. But he didn't. Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, Peter and John said, we cannot, talking to the magistrate when they were threatening them, do with us what you have to do, but we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. How can we hold back? And then lastly today, there's so much of this you could preach. Three more parts. Faithful to God's word.
Yeah.
Faithful to God's call.
Yeah.
Faithful to God's man.
Hallelujah.
Now, in what I believe the Lord wants to do, I believe in team ministry. I believe in not exalting a man.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that men don't have gifts that we should get ourselves close to and receive benefit from those giftings and anointings. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. See, when you're in a position and you are a leader, and you've got a responsibility, and you need help, what are you looking for? You're looking for somebody who's going to help and stay in it until it's done. You're looking for a faithful man, a faithful woman. Many men can proclaim to everybody his own goodness. They can tell you how good they are, but they're just not willing to prove it. Elisha and Elijah, and we're going to end on this. Elisha and Elijah. First of all, we see Elisha Elijah came before Elisha. He was the prophet of God. He saw Elisha, and something about the Lord moved upon him, and he took off his mantle, which is like a sleeveless coat from the best I can tell. I wasn't there at that time. I think Susan might have been. I'm almost positive that Brother Marshall was. But I wasn't there during that time when they had mantles. But what I've read, a mantle was like a sleeveless garment, an outer garment that they put over and they would wear. And Elijah would take this mantle and use it in certain ways. It represented to him the anointing of God upon his life.
Right.
And it's a great picture to us of how the anointing works. So he was going past Elisha. He saw him. The Spirit of God moved upon him. And he took his mantle and he threw it upon Elisha. Elisha was touched by anointing of another man. Now, this gets richer as we get into it.
Oh, man.
Because seeing that a person can be affected by an anointing of God upon somebody is a good thing. But it doesn't stop there. But he saw the anointing of God in somebody else. But he didn't have it. So it came to a place where the Lord was going to take Elijah up and take him to be with him. And he was going to leave Elisha on his own. And they were traveling together, and Elijah said to Elisha, he said, "You stay here. I'm going to go over to this city." He said, "Not on your life." He said, "I'm going with you. I'm not letting you out of my sight." Okay. He went from there to another city, and as he was going to go, he said, "Okay, now I have to go over here. You stay here and wait." And he said, "No. No way. You're not getting out of my sight. I see something in you that I need." And finally he said, "What do you want of me?" He said, "I want a double portion of your anointing when you go." And Elijah said to him, "Well, if you see me when I go, you'll get it." So he stayed with him. And they came to the River Jordan. And Elisha took that mantle. And he whacked the water with it. The waters separated and he was able to go across. Okay, now he's with the man of God. He understands he has an anointing. He understands that being close to that anointing may be beneficial. But not only is he seeing that there's a man with an anointing and that possibly he may get that anointing, but he's watching how to use that anointing.
Yes.
So many people never get close enough to somebody with an anointing that even if they did get it, they don't know how to use it. And that takes being close. It takes being faithful. It takes saying, "I am with you. I'm going to be with you." And what happened? When the Lord did take him, he went up. And somehow that mantle was on the ground. And the scripture doesn't say this, but this is how it appears in my mind. As he was going up, Elijah looked over. He was in that chariot of fire. He looked over, he smiled down at Elisha, gave him the big thumbs up, and dropped the mantle down to him.
I believe.
There you go. Faithful.
Right.
So what did he do? He got the mantle. Was one of the first things he did with it? He went over and did what he saw his teacher do. He whacked the River Jordan with it, and the water split. So many people have somehow received an anointing from God that they have no clue how to use.
That's true.
Faithful, not only to God's word, God's call, but also the man of God that has the anointing that God has put you with for a purpose.
Amen.
Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, "And these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." To who? What men? Talented men, gifted men, charismatic men, faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Please note this. Faithfulness is the very foundation of ability. He said they will be able to teach others because they have proved themselves faithful. Philippians chapter 2, verse 22. "But you know the proof of him," which is Timothy. He's telling the church there in Philippi, "the proof of him," Timothy, "that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel." How did sons serve with their fathers? They learned their craft from them.
Yes.
He learned what he needed to do in the gospel. He can serve you well because he has seen how God uses me. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 19. "Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint." That's the opposite. You have people who are faithful, and it does the father good, his heart good, to see his son learning to walk in his footsteps, and how troubling it is and how heartbreaking it is to see somebody who could have that but doesn't have it because they're unfaithful. It's like a broken tooth, painful. A foot out of joint, painful. God is not looking for men of amazing natural ability, famous men, men of great intellect, men who look good on TV, men who have the golden voice, rich men or men with great charisma. God can add gifting to a faithful man, but he cannot add faithfulness to a gifted man. We are the only ones who can add faithfulness to who we are and to what we have been given. He is looking for faithful men. I want to ask you two questions. First of all, what kind of man or woman are you right now? You judge yourself. Scripture says judge yourself so you don't have to be judged. What kind of man or woman are you right now? If God was walking around the room, if Jesus was here right now and he had a basket full of badges that said faithful on them, would you get one pinned on you? And then secondly, what kind of man or woman will you be going forward? So you all, even if you failed up to this point, even up to this day, you've been a pain in the side of those who've been wanting you to grow. You've been a pain in their heart. They've prayed and prayed and prayed, expecting you to come to the place where you're growing in God. Even if that has not happened to this very moment, it can change going forward. That's a good thing. As long as you're drawing breath, there's hope.
Amen.
You can be different. By God's grace, you will be.
Amen.
If your desire is to be faithful, what kind of man or woman will you be? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord, for teaching me and helping me. Lord, I know that there has been nothing special about me. There is nothing that Hollywood would come knocking on my door for. There's nothing that Broadway would want. But Lord, you have chosen to choose me and to use me these many years. Because, Lord, you know that my desire is to be faithful to you. Lord, I pray that you continue to use me for your glory. Lord, I want to continue to increase. I don't want to be the same next year as I am today. I want to be farther along. I want to be wiser, not just older, but wiser. Lord, I want to be stronger in my faith. Lord, I pray for every person here, every man, every woman, everybody watching online. Lord, everybody whose heart has been touched by you today, Lord, help us to know that this is not some unattainable goal. It's just a matter of saying, yes, Lord, I will take what you're offering me and I will add to it my today's faithfulness, to my tomorrow's faithfulness, my next week's faithfulness, my next year's faithfulness, my under pressure faithfulness, Lord God. In Jesus' precious name, I thank you. Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Pastor Steve. I want to do something the Lord just spoke to my heart earlier. I'd like for all of our men, would you just gather down here, young and old? All of our men, would you just come stand with me down here? We're going to do two things. In a moment, Pastor Steve, I'd love for you to pray over our men especially. We struggle with so many things. Come on down, Dennis. You're part of us. Come right here, guys. Face me. Come over here and face me. In a moment, we're gonna pray for Brandon because he's going to Mexico this next weekend to minister. And so the Lord is going to be with him, with a group. And so we want to pray over him and be thinking of him. But we know the enemy is out to divide the family. They don't want the man to be the man of the home. They don't want you to be a godly man. The enemy's going to do everything he can to stop that. And he's done a pretty good job across. We know that. But we can determine, with the word that we've heard today, we can determine in our own selves that we can go from this place today and say, I'm going to be what God has called me to be. Every one of you have your own gifts. Absolutely. God has gifted you with those things. And you're faithful. Yes, you're faithful. You've been faithful to your job. Longevity in our jobs. God has called. I'm so thankful. That's what my father put in me. It was in him. We didn't just go skipping from job to job. And sadly, you find that in today's world. So many men have not had the teaching and the father figures there to teach them. Stay with it. Stay faithful with it. But I want us to determine anew today that we are going to be the man of God that He's called us to be over our homes, in the workplace, as individuals, when no one is around us, no one can see our lives, that we're staying faithful to God and doing what He's called us to do. So we're going to, Pastor Steve, would you just pinpoint that prayer again, especially to our men here today, and however the Lord will lead you.
Change in the positive direction. Change to follow You, to grow, and to give You back more through their exercise of Your gift than what they currently have. Lord, use them for Your glory, I pray. Each and every one, as they purpose in their heart to be faithful in every area of their life. And the one in the areas that count, in the areas that You have, the opportunities You've put before them, Lord. And Lord, show them what to cut off, what to not be faithful in, not to pursue. But the areas that You've called them to, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You that You empower them. And Lord, as I go by, and just as in obedience, because I feel like You're prompting me to do this. And brother, won't you go with me? I want to go by and just lay hands on each and every one of them. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, faithfulness, Lord God.